The scripture reading is John chapter 10, verses 22 through 31. If you will stand up, I will read it to you. It's a very interesting portion of scripture. Verse 22, "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews," there's that word again, "round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." So that's the question they asked Jesus. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not my sheep." They're not sheep. "As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So you're not sheep, but here's what happens to my sheep. What's the reaction of these people? "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." The name of this sermon, "An Identity Rebuttal to JFT."
Good morning. Yeah, the title is "An Identity Rebuttal to JVT." On a recent visit to a new dentist for the first time, I noticed a pile of sample magazines called JVT, which is Jewish Voice Today. I don't believe the doctor is Jewish, but to carry such a magazine as truly Judeo-Christian in contradistinction to Christian. And perusing the magazine, I quickly found out that it was messianic. In other words, it is Jews who have supposedly converted to Christianity. However, under the veneer, they have converted to nothing and are vicariously teaching Judaism to gullible Christians and definitely promoting a Zionist agenda. There is no visible cross of Calvary, but the six-pointed star of Moloch is pervasive. Within their logo is a stalk of what appears to be wheat, but is more likely a tare, which impersonates wheat and is straight, rather than curved and bowing from its bounty of grain. Now, slick, full-color magazines like this are not cheap to publish. I know, I used to be in the magazine business. But they seem to have a plentiful cash flow. And I'll tell you why a little bit later. They even have their own TV show called The Jewish Voice, as if the media monopoly run by Jews needs more Jewish voices. They are in all the social networks and don't have to worry about being banned or censored like Identity Christians. The president and CEO is Rabbi Jonathan Bernus. Not pastor, not reverend, not bishop, none of the Christian appellations. Headquartered out of Phoenix, Arizona. Now, the reason I'm rebutting this organization and why it's important to white Christians is because the Jewish Voice Ministries is a religious predator that preys upon God's true chosen people. To say there's been a case of mistaken identity is a gross understatement. The claim that Jews are descendants of Jacob Israel is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on mankind. There's no mistake about identifying the big lie of Jews. Now, we're going to take a look at the current November-December issue and some other things from their website. And I had a memory lapse. I forgot to bring the magazine with me today. But the people that will be hearing this on our tape and CD ministries, they won't be able to see it either anyway. But I'll bring it in next time for the people here at our church. Well, to begin with, their first and foremost line of propaganda is overtly stated in what we believe and why. And with a straight face, they say it's to take the gospel to the Jew first, and also the nations. Quote, we believe that as Jewish followers of Yeshua, which is just a Yiddish fantasy, we are called to maintain our Jewish biblical heritage and remain part of our people and the universal body of believers. There's your universalism. This is part of our identity and a witness to the faithfulness of God, end quote. Rabbi Bernus then asked, if it is the Jews' job to praise God among the nations, how else can JVM fulfill its mission without making its Jewish voice heard? End quote. Well, first of all, it should be known by the church world that these flimsy assertions that the modern Jew is the same poorly translated word Jew in the Masoretic influenced text suggesting the tribe of Judah, regardless of whether they take a Strong's concordance and call it Yehudi, is deceptive. Honest translations have properly rendered it Judean or Judahite in English, not the self-serving word Jew, to give the false impression that they were Judahites. They can't be of Israel or Judah, because even Jews admit that 95% of Jewry in the world today are descendants of the Ashkenazi, an Eastern European peoples who migrated from the southern steppes of Russia. Racially, they were a Turkish-Mongol tribe called Khazars, who converted to Judaism in the 9th century A.D. If any rabbi worth their salt, they would know that Ashkenaz is mentioned in the Bible, Genesis 10, 2, and 3, and came from the line of Japheth, not Shem, from whence came Hebrews. Secondly, there were Jews who crucified Christ, but they were the bad figs of Judah, mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 24, who adulterated their race and became mongrelized people, forfeiting the title of Israel or Judah. They resided in Judea and were the fierce opponents of Christ and the early church, comprising Edomites, Herodians, Babylonians, and the Pharisees. The other 5% are Sephardic bad fig Jews who escaped to northern Africa and Spain after the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Their racial descent comes from Shelah, a son of Judah. They also had race mixed and were no longer in the seed line of the holy nation Israel. Jews have always tried to shift the blame for who killed Christ. But Matthew 27:25 does not say, "His blood be on us and on our children and on the children of Israel." Israel was long gone from the region. It was somewhat like the Zionists of today, who are predominantly mongrel Jews but have white lackeys. Paul was certainly a fool of the system, but he was not a Jew or an Edomite. Paul said that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. If that's the case, then that means that any other true Israelites that were somehow involved in the post-crucifixion were less to blame than Paul. Nowhere in the Jewish voice today do I read of a contrite and repentant heart. That's because the children of today's Jews still have innocent blood on their hands. No remorse, no shame, no confession of fault to the world. The expression Messianic Jew is only understood within the Talmudic kind of tongue-in-cheek belief that collectively Jews are the Messiah. Let me quote from the Talmud. "The Messiah is without metaphor the Jewish people." Today's Jews cannot take the gospel of Jesus Christ to other Jews because Christ himself said, "My sheep hear my voice." The Jewish voice is not the voice of Christ. And the words Jew and Israel are not synonymous terms. In fact, no non-white can take the gospel to anyone. Historically, the only race that has heard the voice of their master shepherd is the white race. There would be no Christianity if it were not for white Christians, who are, by process of elimination, the only race qualified to be known as the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There are over 100 identification marks of true Israel, and only the white race fulfills those marks, not Jews. For example, in Genesis 17:4, God states that Israel would become many nations. There has never been a Jewish nation until it was artificially created by the UN in 1948. And contrary to trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, the Israeli was not born in a day. It formed as a conspiracy of deceit and treachery going back to the Balfour Declaration in 1917 between British race traders and the Jewish House of Rothschilds, taking two world wars and untold death and suffering of our race to later seize the land of Palestine by way of terrorism. In Genesis 35:11, "A company or commonwealth of nations shall emanate from Jacob, and kings shall come from his loins." Jews have never had a genetic line of royalty, albeit they have bought titles of nobility from a corrupt aristocracy. In Genesis 13:16, Israel would become a multitudinous race. In 1950, there were almost 700 million white people populating the world. But thanks to Jewish masterminds of abortion, Planned Parenthood, and the promotion of promiscuity and homosexual lifestyles, the demographics of the white race are now plummeting. Perhaps the Jew wants to catch up with us, as they only numbered around 13 million in 2001, but have close to zero growth worldwide. No wonder their only recourse is to further interbreed with other races to maintain the facade of a universal body of believers, not only with the aberration of a hyphenated Christianity, but Judaism also. We can deduce from the aforementioned that Jesus was a white man from the white tribe of Judah, not a convoluted mixed-race Jew. Jews rejected Christ and killed him because he was the Messiah, and he was not a mongrel like them. They hate the Lord to this day by smearing him with an impure lineage of mongrels and ingratiate his followers with those who despise the Son of God. The phrase, to the Jew first and also of the Gentile, is another self-serving mistranslation which should have read both of the Judean, firstly, and then of the Greek. The Judean and Greek were both white Israelites, not Jews. Romans 1:16 is addressing one and the same people whom Christ said he came for exclusively. I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 15:24. The word Gentiles never meant non-Jews, but rather simply nations. The context being Israelite nations in dispersion from the Assyrian captivity, no longer residing in Judea. Of the disciples, all of whom were Benjaminites except for Judas, first went to their racial kinsmen in the land of Judea, and then to other Israelites spread throughout the Mediterranean area. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. James 1:1. Who are you going to believe? James, the brother of Jesus, or Rabbi Bernus? On the one hand, the Jewish professors that inundate seminaries and Bible colleges insist that the 10 tribes disappeared from history or amalgamated with other countries. While on the other hand, Jewish scholars say they magically reappeared in the modern Middle East and have an ancestral claim to Palestine. Such a theory has never been demonstrably proven. Where have they been for the last 2,000 years? Romans 11:25 isolates who doesn't know who they are. Blindness in part is happened to Israel. Well now, Jews today demand that they are Israelites, far from appearing blind, whereas white people who have promulgated the word of Christ for 2,000 years are blind as bats to their own fulfillment of Scripture. For the last 2,000 years, Jews have denied and rejected the Son of God and his followers. The Talmud, their Talmud, is a hate-filled book cursing Christ and Christians. I divulge these obscene diatribes in my article, Why We Hate Jews. After being educated about these things, there are still some people who love those who hate the Lord. The Jew has never had it so good. Riding on a rainbow of mixed race coalitions. That hasn't always been the case. There is a long line of critics and opponents of Jewry throughout history, and rightly so, lest we not forget the foremost being Jesus Christ. They have been a despised people wherever they settle. They have been kicked out of almost every country they lived in, not because they were innocent people being persecuted for no good reason, but because of their reputation that precedes them wherever they go. Christ killers, child ritual murder, money changers, and usury, pandering immoral temptations upon a host nation, etc. Thus says the Lord, I will make them a terror and an evil for all the kingdoms of the earth, as a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places where I will drive them to this day. That was written by Jeremiah. And to this day, Jews hate the prophet Jeremiah and will not name their children after him because he did not mince his words describing the evil figs. Quote, since you have not obeyed me by setting your countrymen free, I will set you free to be destroyed by war, disease, and famine. You will be an object of horror to all the nations of the earth. Jeremiah 34:17. Want another one? Then I will do to this temple what I did to Shiloh. I will turn this city into something that will be cursed by all the nations of the earth. Jeremiah 26:6. That city is Jerusalem and is indeed cursed to this day. Its only prophetic significance is that the Jews may revive this ancient city, but according to Malachi 1:4, though Edom says, we have been devastated, but we will rebuild the ruins. The Lord of hosts says, they may build, but I will demolish. They will be called a wicked country, and the people of the Lord has cursed forever. The new Jerusalem is not going to be the old Jerusalem. Today, only 4.9 million Jews live in the, quote, Holy Lands, with 46% of Jewry living in North America. We have Christian identity scholars who have researched the post-Assyrian captivities and the resultant diaspora in which Israelites would lose their identity and be known by different names, and their migrations into Europe, becoming many nations. They were not Jews. They were, as James correctly addressed them, the 12 tribes scattered abroad. They were 12 and not 10, as some suppose, because even most of the tribes from the southern house of Judah went with their northern brethren into Assyria. After the disciples proselytized in Judea and the surrounding area, they didn't go to China or Africa. because that's not where the lost tribes of Israel were at. All one has to do to determine where true Israel was is to look at where the earliest churches were established. It is a historical fact that the first above-ground church was shortly after the death and resurrection of Christ, only a couple of years, in Glastonbury, Great Britain. Now, the Roman Catholic Church was not established until several hundred years later. Genesis 12:2 is another identification mark of Israel. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Well, what nation has the word great in it? I just mentioned it. Well, did you know that British means covenant people? In Hebrew, Brith means covenant and Ish means man. Great Britain is fulfilled prophecy. The second prong of their attack on Christianity is the penetration of Jews into the church. This is the hybrid people and anti-Christian religion that would cause the ecclesia to go apostate, going dark. The JVT magazine, TV, and corporate enterprises would not exist if the Christian church was not asleep at the wheel, allowing its pockets to be picked by Jewish heretics. And what better way to bless the Jew than with your hard-earned money? The Jews are not converting to Christianity. The Christians are converting to Judaism. In the first century, their power base was jeopardized by the miraculous, exponential growth of Christianity. That's why God needed Paul as the first Christian identity preacher to counter the Jews clinging to the old letter of the law, which had been compromised anyway, but as Jews are wont to do, had an appearance of piety and would have no part of Christ or his word. They would only exploit Christianity if it benefited them, being blind to the spirit of the law. Jesus rebuked the scribes and Pharisees, who later became known simply as Jews, saying, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people draws near to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." After Jesus called the crowd to him, he said to them, "Hear and understand. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth." Then the disciples came up and told him, "Do you know that those Pharisees took offense when they heard that statement?" And he replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father did not plant will be uprooted." And guess what? The Jew is a weed in God's green earth. The converso Jew has always been a fraud throughout history, retaining their Talmudic identity secretly. But Rabbi Bernus doesn't even bother to shed the symbols of Judaism or what the New Testament calls the traditions of man. The disciples broke from tradition because not all of the elders were racially pure Israelites. They may look white at first glance, but tares look like wheat. The parable explains that an enemy planted them. In other words, the enemy that integrated our society with subhuman aliens, the strangers with their strange gods, was and is he who accuses falsely. If the Jew is behind the myth, and he is, that Jesus is a Jew, then the Jew is a false accuser, a devil who raises wicked children unto destruction. Quote, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. End quote. If a person does not live for the truth, that is Christ, they cannot be God's chosen people. Calling oneself a Jew can only be one of two things. They are either a religious Jew or a racial Jew. Why don't they just call themselves Christian and drop the word Jew? If they think they can pass themselves off as a Christian and still call themselves a Jew, then they are admitting that they are a racial Jew because they're allegedly no longer serving Judaism. A racial Jew is not an Israelite, because they can only be Ashkenazi or Sephardic, which come from the seed line of Japheth, not Shem, not Heber, not Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob Israel. Jacob's brother, Esau, married Canaanite women, and they lost their connection to Abraham by branching off into a mongrel people. The Edomites, later in history, hooked up with the Khazars, who descended from Ashkenaz. Jesus said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. In simple terms, it is speaking of the family tree of the white race. Race mixing will warrant necessary pruning to maintain the integrity of the tree and its branches. To do otherwise is the abomination of universalism, of sabotaging God's plan for the ages. If one tries to graft an avocado branch to an orange tree, it's going against the laws of nature. It is playing God. It is man deciding what is right and wrong, in spite of God's law of kind after kind. We can do nothing with a Jewish Jesus. With Jews, we lose our identity. The Babylonian Talmud is a book designed to circumvent the Mosaic law of the Old Testament. It rears its ugly head in secular humanism and situational ethics. Same thing as Judaism. The rotten and evil figs that Jeremiah told us about, nonetheless, continually proclaim either directly or indirectly that they are Israel. Even in Jesus' day, they tried to tell Christ that they were of Abraham's seed. Well, what part of Jesus' words do Judeo-Christians not understand when he clearly put down the Jew by saying, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I am telling you what I saw when I was with my father. But you are following the advice of your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. He said, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did. What is the Lord saying here? He's saying there's two different genetics, two different family trees. Esau may have been Abraham's grandson, but his mongrelized branch and descendants could no longer claim to be part of the family. Matthew makes it perfectly clear, so that even a child could understand that a good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. An Edomite magazine, like JVT, is selling evil to our people, the true children of Israel. Imagine a preacher 100 years ago that started with the pablum of spiritual arsenic, that Jews were God's chosen people, gradually feeding the sheep tidbit by tidbit the tasty poison until you and your family are diagnosed with terminal cancer, figuratively speaking. Your family values have been reversed. The church which you attended now calls good evil and evil good. Your world is falling apart. Your sons and daughters have mulatto kids. The youth pastor is gay. You're in debt up to your eyeballs. And you're still being pacified by the preachers, when you should be outraged and more vigilant than ever. Let's assume that every person in America has confessed Jesus is Lord. Now what? I'll tell you what, the clergy would continue to dish out the pablum. They won't go beyond, do you know Jesus? They're like a broken record and don't want anything fixed. There's a reason for this madness, and it's because the preachers are toting the party line. It's not really Republicans or Democrats. It's the Communist Party. And the preachers have never told their congregations that communism is a Jewish invention. Their party platform is preached in the pulpits, and if a so-called minister of God does not preach the Jewish agenda, they lose their livelihood and should get a job at Walmart. With the rise of the megachurch in modern society, the temptations of being a party preacher are great. You can become wealthy and live a comfortable life. So after 100 years of this Israel pablum, guess what? They have paved the way for Jews to pretend some kind of authority within Christendom. The Jew is not satiated to just humble himself after 2,000 years of hate and to be led by righteous white men of God, which we know will never happen, but to lead the righteous into unrighteousness. Such is the position of JVT, having a ring firmly in place in the nose of Christians, leading them around in circles that only glorify the Jew. Christian identity is free from this iron yoke upon our hearts and minds. We know that the Antichrist, as defined by John, is clearly the Jewish people, not some singular boogeyman coming to rule the world. The Jews already have their tentacles around the world and are squeezing the life out of it. Jews want a one-world government, and consequently, they must have a one-world religion. Therefore, from an establishment church's perspective, all theological competition is a sin. Paradoxically, Christian unity is sacrificed on the altars of tolerance and brotherhood, especially the Masonic variety of fraternal bonds, or is that bondage? If you haven't heard of the ecumenical movement, it is basically a subversion of Christianity which began in earnest in 1910 to unify all denominations and sects into one body. It has plagued the church since its inception. Never has there been a need for believers to discern a subtlety of their satanic origin or stealth of their development. This new movement began as a little bit of leaven working in the church, not appearing malevolent, but presenting themselves as highly dignified and pious. So filled with spiritual integrity that they were capable of deceiving the Lord's own people, if such a thing were possible, even to the very elect. The first conference was the first holy interdenominational conference ever to be held with the utopian intent of bringing Christ within the reach of every person in the world so that he may have the opportunity of intelligently accepting him as personal Savior. It is our duty to evangelize the world, as one of their founders said. An outgrowth of this first meeting in Scotland was the YMCA, and later the World Council of Churches. One of the key figures and ideologues was William Temple, a lifelong socialist and champion of the social gospel, with the idea that the preaching of the gospel can be better fulfilled through social activism and the promotion of societal change. Significantly, William Temple's theological position has been described by one reputable source as Hegelian idealism. That's pretty much the same as Marxist dialectics. He was a rector of St. James Church, Piccadilly, London, from 1914 to 1917. This church was to become, and still is to this day, the principal center of syncretism, which means a process of adopting, accepting, and merging pagan practices into Christianity, and also occultism and libertarian politics. This certainly does no service to the mission of Christ or the Great Commission, which was already accomplished by the disciples and apostles in the first century, in spite of all the persecutions and formation of Jewish opposition. When Jesus spoke of leaven, his figure of speech represented the false doctrines of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Herodians. These people are no longer called by these names, but they are among us in practice, leavening the church with false doctrines. Let me illustrate the problem. Our people have been taught to love their neighbor as themselves and to turn the other cheek. This is an extreme sport, pounded into the minds of the sheeple that there is no limit to the amount of abuse we must tolerate. How's that working out for white Christian America, whose streets and neighborhoods have been turned into hoods filled with Trayvon Martins and Michael Browns? The New Age ministers of God Loves Everybody tells their flocks to pray for their new neighbors and that vengeance is the Lord's until we have all been raped, mugged, robbed, and killed. And to the Jewish mind, there's 100 different ways to legally plunder and run campaigns of silent genocide. The Bible says, and I repeat it often, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. We can see it. Who, pray tell, is taking the kingdom of God? Again, I defer to Rabbi Bernus. Quote, taking the gospel to the Jews around the globe, end quote. Well, evidently, this messianic Jew has discovered the whereabouts of the lost tribes of Israel, and they're to be found in Africa and India. He has the audacity to mention both Assyrian and Babylonian captivities as being the same people that, quote, Nehemiah led a remnant of the Jewish people back to Jerusalem and rebuilt its walls and gates. Over 500 years later, in 70 AD, the Romans destroyed the Second Temple, and again the Jewish people dispersed through persecution into the world at large. By all these means, Jewish people have come to reside all over the world, end quote. Pretty slick, don't you think? How can he magically equate the northern house of Israel as somehow being Jewish? And surely he must know that the word Jew is a colloquial slang for Judah. That was only one of the tribes. Hence, is not only inappropriate, it is intellectually dishonest to call all the tribes of Israel Jews by any stretch of logic. He failed to mention that Ezra and Nehemiah separated the strange wives and children. In other words, racial aliens. They were not just foreigners, as the NIV says. And that they were to be put away Of course, it goes without saying for identity Christians that these two books are not talking about mongrel Jews, but the racial integrity of our ancient white ancestors. Why would it make any difference if a mongrel were to race mix with other mongrels? Does that make any sense? But really, African Jews and Indian Jews, extrapolated from his little thumbnail sketch of Israelite history? How on earth did all of these ethnicities retain any identity at all if they are racially divergent? It's not only absurd, it's a lie. Israeli. There's absolutely no possibility of Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Germanic, and kindred peoples ever having the slightest hint of ever being at least one of the tribes of Israel, let alone all of them, to the Jewish mindset. The only outreach to white people from JVT is to watch their TV show and send them money. They have corporate offices in Phoenix, Arizona, but they have no church in which anybody can attend. Where do they go to worship the Jewish Yeshua? They go on a cruise. The rabbi and his swarthy wife, quote, celebrate the mystery and the miracle of Passover on the seas, including a cedar dinner on the beautiful Royal Caribbean. No mention that Christ is our Passover. And he's got over 20 guided tours to the promised land under his porcine belt. And all of these tours we hear about church groups going over to Israeli are carefully orchestrated to avoid the real face of Jews who hate Christians, which includes a 26-foot-tall concrete wall enclosing the Palestinian inhabitants of the West Bank, and the sniper towers seemingly on every other corner of this open-air prison. Or maybe you could ask your tour guide if your group could go watch a giant caterpillar bulldoze a Palestinian family's home to rubble. In their FAQs, frequently asked questions, we read, how much spending money should I bring? Yeah, that's a good question. And the answer is, American dollars are accepted everywhere. It is a good idea to take your money in a zippered pouch that fits under your clothing. Credit and debit cards are accepted in most stores. Large sums of money should be in the form of traveler's checks. And get this last one. By popular demand, we will be shopping, including a special diamond center with fine jewelry and diamonds at incredible prices. Wow, I can't wait. As long as you stay on the tour bus, do not deviate from the tour group. Do not talk to anyone other than your official tour group guide. Do not look to the left or to the right. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Have a nice trip. Imagine if Jews had a chance to rewrite the Bible. Light becomes dark. An unbeliever becomes a believer. And unrighteousness becomes lawlessness. Imagine no more. It's not that we owe our Bibles to the Jew. It's that our Bibles have been corrupted thanks to the Jews. Jesus becomes a second fiddler on the roof. And only Jews can save the human race. The awful manipulation of man's mind reckons that if we bless the Jew, we will be blessed. But that's never materialized. The best they can excuse the belated, recalcitrant Jew to believe is that he will convert at the very last moment, just before Christ comes. And then he gets to rule the world with Christ? What an asinine theology. A Christian identity study of the manuscripts and unctuals reveal the true identity of Edom, or Jewry, as the most wicked people in the world. Their Talmud turns everything around. The adversaries of God masquerade as angels of light, messengers of the word. Quote, therefore, it is no great surprise if these ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I mean, if you have the key to unlock seemingly contradictory or nearly impossible passages to reconcile with reality, you will not be lost as churchianity is. We don't owe anything to the Jews, except perhaps a real Holocaust. We don't help the ungodly. We give no quarter to anyone who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Jews deify themselves. That's what Jews do. That's what makes them so arrogant and boastful. We've been blessing the Jew for over half a century, and we're being sold skunk juice for perfume. The stench must be reaching heaven by now. In the lead article of the JVT magazine, Rabbi Bernus, is that a Freudian slip, burn us? He says, quote, most believers I speak to today firmly believe we are in the last days. Many have become almost obsessed with trying to interpret and unravel the Bible's mysterious end-time prophecies and keep a keen eye on politics and world events, especially those that involve Israel or the Middle East. The news is scrupulously analyzed by many watching for specific prophetic signs. A 10-nation confederacy, the Antichrist emergence and identity, the mark of the beast, the rebuilding of the third temple, the bear of the north, Russia, and the cataclysmic rise of catastrophes and natural disasters. Although these signs are indeed found in scriptures, they are apocalyptic text, veiled and cryptic. Not even scholars of eschatology can interpret these texts with a great deal of certainty, end quote. Well, it doesn't sound like all things work together for good for this Jew. And maybe it's because he loves Jews more than God and is not called according to the purpose of God in bringing forth the fruits of the kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the latter days. And even if I'm wrong about that, we should act as if it is, as long as the Jew dwells in our land. Our Christian conduct should be as if we were in the kingdom right now. One thing that Christ warned us about was false Christ, plural, and the rise of false prophets or teachers showing signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Well, I wouldn't put it past the Jew to invent an Antichrist, diverting attention away from themselves with the power of occult technology. As I observe the glut of preachers and Bible thumpers, I see and hear seducers of God's people. I got an email the other day from a fellow who typifies the shallow end of the gene pool, and I get more than my fair share of them, I'll tell you, telling me how bad I am. But really, their pathetic misunderstanding of God's word and their double-mindedness is testimony that their beef isn't with me, it's with God. Here is his dutiful chastisement. Quote, "I am a well-educated white American that could not love or be more dedicated to Christ. And I have to ask you, for your own sake, please actually read the Bible, the complete Bible. The Old Testament, as well as the New, makes it abundantly clear that God does not discriminate against any one of his created people. Making remarks saying that God favors white people and hates Jews shows extreme ignorance and clear evidence that you are extremely deceived and full of hatred in the most evil form." I'm not trying to start a fight. I hope and pray that God will open your eyes and truly show himself to you, because I'm very sad to inform you that the God, small g, you are serving that encourages such evil hatred and gut-wrenching misinterpretation of the Bible is not Jesus, but his adversary. Please make an effort to read the entire Bible with the cultural and time period context in mind, if for no one else, your own personal self. God is not dead. He is coming back, and he will not tolerate those that hurt his creations, all people, end quote. Well, I'm not too fazed by these pitiful reactions from people who may stumble under our website or just read enough to do what they've been programmed to do. That's why I'm dealing with one of the greatest obstacles to truth in this day and age, the Jew. I am equipping the saints in the art of rebuttal, and the only template is Jesus Christ himself. Well, we will continue to expose the folly of publications such as JVT in forthcoming studies. They think they can get away with murder and lies hiding behind the facade of Christ. Christ will not have it. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. We are ready to answer the neurotic exaggerations and distortions that come from the pits of Babylon. The signs of the time is that the end is near. The end of what? Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to discern that it is all things that offend and them which do iniquity. The Jewish voice is coming to an end. And on that positive note, I will end this sermon. To be continued.